State of Grace by Ruth Goldsmith. Your answer phone is blinking when you get home. One new message. You hang your keys on the hook, put your coat down, and press the button. You don't get many messages these days. It's probably sales. The voice is unfamiliar. Hello. What I'm about to tell you may seem strange, but don't hang up. You don't. Doesn't sound like the voice of a salesman. It's male, quite deep, well-spoken, almost actorly. What I'm about to tell you is very important. The voice speaks slowly, enunciating every word. There's a faint echo on the line, as if the call is coming from far away. Because of your actions 7 days ago, you were chosen to receive something extraordinary. There's a pause, as if the voice knows that you need a moment to think back through the last 7 days, to recall where you were last Tuesday, what you were doing. You draw a blank. It was a completely ordinary day. You may think that it was a completely ordinary day, continues the voice, but your benefactors saw otherwise. This, you think, is getting quite strange. In a few moments, there will be a knock at the door, says the voice. Sure enough, a beat passes, followed by two sharp raps on the door. You see no shadow behind the glass. Your throat tightens. You feel a sudden widening of possibilities, a breach in normality. When this message ends, go to the door and bring in the box from the doormat. Open it carefully. Do not be alarmed. Remember, your benefactors wish only the best for you. With that, the line goes dead and the answer phone switches off. You sit down heavily, knees weakened, heart bouncing on your ribs. But your curiosity is growing and you find yourself up again, walking to the door. You have to know what is on the mat. Wrapped in brown paper, the parcel is about the size of a shoebox. You pick it up carefully. It weighs quite heavy in your hands and bring it inside. You place it on the dining table and sit down again. Well, you can't just sit there looking at it. You tear back the paper to reveal a hardwood box, mahogany, you think, with an inlaid mother-of-pearl lid, a pattern of geometric swirls that shimmers like the moon on the sea at dusk. You take a deep breath, and holding it away from your body, you flick back the lid in a sudden movement. Nothing explodes. You peer inside the box. You didn't really know what to expect, but, well, it wasn't this. Lying curled on a purple cushion is a tiny girl. A very tiny, very beautiful little girl in a red dress with hair the colour of spun gold, like a ballerina in a jewellery box. She's not a doll, though, you're sure about that. She lifts up her head and smiles at you as soon as the light hits her. The tiny girl stands and straightens her skirts, yawns and stretches, reaching her full height, which you reckon to be about 4 inches. And then she starts to speak, her voice so high and melodic it's as if a songbird has flown into your dining room. Her words float back to you from childhood, words your mother used to whisper in your ear when you were small. Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for a living. And the child who is born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay. At the end of the rhyme, she lifts up her skirts, jumps out of the box, and runs across the table to the edge where she sits, legs dangling. She tells you a story. 7 days ago, she says, The day which you think was an ordinary Tuesday, you were being watched by something she calls the committee. She explains that the committee watched everything you did during those 24 hours. She explains that they saw you greet your elderly neighbour and give her the meal you'd cooked for her the night before. They watched you carry a woman's pushchair up the stairs at the station, she says, and they saw you pulling faces at her baby to make him laugh. They watched you talk to your colleague and listen to his worries. They saw you buy a copy of the big issue and give the guy the extra pound that was rolling round your pocket. They saw someone living in a state of grace, she says, a state of pure kindness, and so they sent me to you. I am Tuesday's child, full of grace. I can give you 3 blessings, wishes if you like. It can be anything, anything at all. You just have to decide what you want. You think about last Tuesday and this Tuesday and all the Tuesdays you have left to live. You think about what it would be like to get anything you want, like a lottery win, but better, not just money, but the chance for change, renewal, rebirth. Then you think about your next-door neighbour, the one you saw dropping off a meal to the old biddy who lives 2 doors down, the one who probably does buy the big issue and help mothers carry babies up station stairs. You think that if watched from a long way away, you two are quite alike, really, physically at least. Same height, same hair colour, similar age, easily confused. You think again about getting what you want, about a different kind of Tuesday. You think about the precarious balance of right and wrong. And then you smile at the fairy, or whatever she is. You smile at her before you begin to speak.